Hey everybody, Josh here. We're back out again, and it feels so good. It feels so right. We're at Houston Cider Company, and we'll get more into that in a second. But this is where I beg you for money. No, I don't beg you. See, it's a steal of a deal. They're lighting it up right now. Only on Interbrews can you now support us for $1 an episode on Patreon. Just go to interbrews.com/Patreon or patreon.com/Interbrews. Our deals are going. Well, I wonder how long that siren's going to go. I don't know if I can keep that. Okay, fine. They're fading away. Anyway, we have a Patreon page. The link's below if you want to do that and help support craft podcast audio awesomeness in Houston and beyond. All right, let's just do a show.
The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
This is Justin.
This is Olivia.
And we're at Houston Cider Company with Interbrews.
This is Interbrews.
Yes. We're back.
Beautiful.
We're back. Olivia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
For the first
time.
Yeah. Justin, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back at your own place.
Yeah.
We are sitting underneath the trees. It is, let me set the stage. It is 11 o'clock. It is shady, cool, low humidity in Houston. And the ciders
cracked
are open. And it's going to be awesome. Welcome, everybody, to the show. And we're going to be talking all things cider, all things Houston Cider, all things Houston Cider Company. What do we got in front of us as we... It seems like a very appropriate 11 a.m. beverage.
Yes.
It kind of hit me, you know? It's like, this is going to be good.
Yeah, this is going to be a good start to the day. So what we got is our Peaches Fight Back.
Ooh.
It is a peach cider with Norwegian kvike yeast.
Oh, kvikes.
Kvike?
Kvek.
Kvek.
Kvek. Yeah, Kvek. There we go.
All right, so...
It's questionable.
So I hear that. Look at that. I love that. So I hear some of the brewers talk about this, right? They talk about the Kvek yeast. They can ferment at a higher temperature, all that good stuff. What's the approach with cider with the Kvek? Is it sweet? What is it? Swedish?
It's the strain that we use is Norwegian, so very North Norwegian.
It's all kind of the same.
Yeah,
I don't know,
but yeah, this is a Voss Kvek yeast.
Okay.
There's this meme. I saw this meme. It's the friends, Joey's in there, and I can't think of who the lady is, but they're going through and trying to pronounce this yeast, and Joey ends up saying it the wrong way at the end,
yeah.
But it's Kev-E-Ick.
Kev-E-Ick.
That's the episode with Phoebe's trying to teach him French.
Yes.
I believe. And he can't do it.
Yeah.
French is a hard one, and so is this yeast to pronounce, but not to drink. It makes... it makes a delicious cider. So what do we need to know about the yeast inside this delicious beverage?
Yeah, so this cider has we use a Fredericksburg peaches in it from Vogel Orchards.
Okay.
It's approximately 40 pounds of peaches per barrel.
Yeah.
But the reason why we use the Kvek yeast. this is going to bug me now. Is that we wanted a yeast that would help promote the glucosides in the cider. So basically something that brewers have to use heat for. We in the cider world, we get to not use heat most often. So like we're always fermenting 60 degrees or colder. But this is, I think we were fermenting in like 85, 90 degrees.
Okay.
Just ambient temperatures in our warehouse. And we were just looking for the promotion of the natural peach flavor, as well as just getting some background tropical fruits from the Voss yeast.
Yeah, no, that's really pleasant. You get kind of the that peach is like a soft flavor, right? And you kind of get that on the. It's like the duvet of fruits.
Right. Yeah, ooh. And the problem with peaches and ciders is that peach has a lot of sulfur compounds to it, and so the cider can get farty quickly. It does smell. It will smell like farts.
It's like a frat house.
Really bad farts.
Yeah.
Probably the worst frat house known to mankind.
Yeah.
but yeah, this yeast was able to eat right through it. The cool thing with this yeast is that it left the fiber skeletal structure of the yeast of the peaches behind and ate through the meat. Like, it was just the fibrous network that was left behind. Everything else was completely consumed.
So just you open the barrel and there's just peach skeletons.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Seems appropriate for right about now.
Spooky season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are in spooky season. You should see my front yard. Or you shouldn't. You may be scared. Anyway.
But yeah, we planned to come out with this for a while. And the Sunday before we were going to release it, we were watching Field of Dreams with Rosie O'Connor and Madonna and...
Oh, League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. There we go.
I was going to say, if you build it, they will go to a different movie because...
Yeah.
They're all baseball. It's close enough.
Yeah, it's a baseball movie. I was drunk during the time.
That's fine.
But we were watching the movie, really enjoying it. And we saw the news headline like, oh, Peaches Fight Back. It's a series like 2-1 or something like that. But at the same time, we were getting notifications on our phone about like stuff that was going on with the election and how I think at the time Abbott was, or straight ticket voting or something was going. I don't know. It was a couple weeks ago. It seems like it was forever.
Right.
But what we decided to do, because we were just going to call it like Farmhouse Peach Cider or something. And it's like, oh, let's do Peaches Fight Back and let's actually do a donation. So for each can sold, proceeds are going to the League of Women Voters here in Houston.
Okay.
Really cool nonpartisan voting rights group.
Are they playing baseball at all? Or
no, they're playing baseball now. I think I think they're suing Governor Abbott over the lack of drop-off ballot boxes now.
Okay.
But we were just thinking like, hey, this is actually like a really good cause. I use their website quite a bit to kind of help with candidate pickings and stuff, and I was just like, yeah, let's do this. And the first weekend we ran through about 95% of the cider.
Okay. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it's like ciders have an unfair advantage when it comes to like brunch and things like that. They're just automatically like, they just go with brunch time and brunch meal and all these types of things. But this is like anything with peaches really kind of makes me think of back home Arkansas on the porch kind of stuff, you know, country living. And this isn't overtly like, hey y'all in a cup, because that's always very sweet, sweet tea, all that. But this is really nice. This is, I mean, I could just sit here and be quiet and let y'all talk for a while. I just sip on this and see what y'all say.
Honestly, to me, it tastes like I'm biting into a peach. It was, when I tried it for the first time, it was amazing because I didn't expect that. Most peach flavored drinks that I've had are kind of syrupy or they taste just not quite right. This tastes like a peach.
It's just really, it's well balanced. It's really nice. I'm enjoying it more as I get into it.
Yeah, so as it warms up, the peach flavor starts to become a little bit more pronounced. We kind of, our fridge is a little on the cooler side.
it's good. I like that a lot. So is this, obviously it's gonna be seasonal, especially if you're going with, I just had a conversation about this yesterday about, you know, it is sad when like, okay, maybe you only got one or two of these in the time period that it was available, but then you anticipate it for the next time. And I like the fact that if I missed it, that's even kind of sweet too, because it's like, oh, I missed it, but I'll get it next time, right? And you don't want some, I mean, there are some things you want all the time, like, you know, water. You don't want seasonal water, I guess. But like the different, you know, the different beverages and stuff, this is great. My brother-in-law lives in Fredericksburg, and we were up there not too long ago. That area is beautiful.
I've never been.
Oh, you should go. When y'all are getting ready to pick out some peaches, just, I don't know if you need to. I mean, peaches, I don't know if there's different. I'm guessing there's different varieties of peaches in Fredericksburg, even. They're everywhere. But it would be fun just to go. Just be like, you know, let's squeeze some peaches and walk around.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful area.
Yeah, when we procured our peaches, Vogel Farms had 3 different varieties of peaches at the time.
Okay.
But they kind of staggered their varietals, kind of are staggered. So like in the early part of June is one varietal that becomes ripen, and then there's another one in the later, and then another one, and then another one, and another one. But when we were there, we had 3 different varietals. But we were, I don't want to say we're the trash collectors of the fruit world.
Right.
But for good ciders, sometimes having like the overripened, bee-stung kind of peaches that you can't really sell to people because they'll be like, ew, that looks disgusting. Those are the kind of fruits that we like to use.
We want the ugly fruits.
We want the ugly fruits.
How do you spell Vogel?
V-O-G-E-L.
See, I was going V-O-U-G, like Vogue. V-O-G. What'd you say? V-O-G what?
E-L.
Vogel. Okay. It sounds like it might be really close to where I was. And so now I have to look. Or maybe I just drove by it. It's right there on 290. It's a good drive. Like, it. You know, you don't have to go through Austin. You go south of Austin. Nope. It's.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great drive. Go through Somerville and then back through or whatever. Let's see. Yeah, right on 290 before. Okay, sorry. Everybody, listen to me. Look at it. My phone. yeah, that's not far from Luckenbach. Whenever they start doing concerts out there again.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right by my brother-in-law's house. So next time, maybe let me know. Next time you go, if you need a play, like if you want to go Fredericksburg, stay overnight. I know a guy.
Okay. Yeah. I also know the Grahams at a High Cider. So if you're out towards the town of High, stop by High Cider. A really cool place. Some good Thai food. Really good ciders.
That's cool. How many cideries do we have in the great state of Texas?
We are, and I should actually know this because I'm trying to form the Texas Cider Guild with help of other cideries. I had to take a little bit of a hiatus. But I think we're up into the 20s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that includes like some of the breweries that are producing cider for either just like taproom production or trying to get it out onto the market.
Right. Okay. How many? Well, all right. Now do this math. Standalone ciders for cider only.
Cider only, your low teens.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. You were Houston's first production cider.
Yes.
Historically, like ever, there was never a cidery before, like even back in the... Yeah,
so there was a cidery before Leprechaun. They paved the way for ciders in Houston, but their ciders were produced under contract.
Somewhere up north, right?
Yep. So originally in Oregon, and then I think it got switched to Vermont, New Hampshire.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. I know the names of the producers, but I'm keeping them quiet.
Yeah.
So Leprechaun Cider was the first cider coming into Houston that was like a Houston cider, but their production was not in Houston.
Okay.
And then Leprechaun started ending production, and that's when we started coming up online as like a first production cidery.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. It's... Well, to have the name Houston Cider Company, as far as marketing goes.
Yeah. Really easy for Google search. Houston and cider.
Yeah. Number one across the board. I love the ciders that you make. I love dry. Most, not all your ciders are completely dried out, right? But they're on the drier side.
But yeah, most of them are on the drier side. The sweetest one we have is the Tea for Victory. Mm-hmm. And it's not that sweet. There's not that much sugar in a 12-ounce can. But we use organic blue agave nectar to back sweeten that. With a cream Earl Grey tea blend.
Mm.
So it's a really unique tea cider.
It's my favorite.
Yeah?
My absolute favorite.
All right, Olivia, how did... You just got started. Mm-hmm. I love the new end-of-the-industry spirit.
Yeah.
Let's hear... How did it come about? What made you want to come work at a cidery?
So, I really like beer. There's a great craft beer scene in Flagstaff, which is where I was living before coming to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love trying beer. And so my sister moved to Houston a couple of years ago.
Okay. Like her already?
Yeah. She's happy here. She actually works for Justin as a bartender on the weekends when she's not doing her, 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But she kind of introduced me to the cider here, and I've always been interested in homebrew and wanting to get to know the process of how you make beer, how you make different alcohols in general.
Yeah.
And so when I found out that Justin kind of needed help, and I was slightly in a what am I going to do with my life now phase, I asked Justin if he actually wanted my help, even if I didn't know anything, and he said yes, and here I am, and I'm getting to learn how to make cider. I've made a couple of batches. Fun. I actually, put everything together for this peach one, for Peaches Fight Back, and every one that I've tried so far that I've made, I've been super excited to know that I didn't mess it up. That's the best feeling, but it's just fun to do something new, and I really love the cider that Justin produces and what he's trying to do here. And so it's been a lot of fun to get to figure out that process.
That's cool. That's cool. So what was your major at NAU?
NAU.
The Fighting Lumberjacks, Justin.
Yeah. I majored in geology and archaeology.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular emphasis?
Yeah, bones. I really, really like bones.
Okay.
So osteology or bioarchaeology, which is looking at the really old bones.
Yeah.
As long as there's no fleshy bits, I'm okay.
So, okay. How tired are you of the Randy Travis song, Digging Up Bones? Or do you sing it every day? Do you know the song?
I don't think I know the song.
We're about to rock your world. It's about to be petrified. We're about to petrify bone your world. That doesn't sound right. I tried to make that like it was, that sounded horrible, actually. Never mind. Justin, get me out of this. All right. So, old bones.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like maybe we should send you to go find where's Johnny Appleseed buried. I feel like we should do something very specific to your.
I should probably know that. And I saw a picture of his grave once. I was like, oh, we need to go, like,
pay homage
to his grave. And for the life of me, I actually don't know.
Yeah, John Chapman.
Yes. I don't want to say maybe Michigan or Oregon.
I think so. Yeah, he walked around. They say he planting apples in orchards and stuff for people. But it was actually for cider. And so at Prohibition, all his orchards were dug up.
Really?
None of his original orchards are still around.
Oh.
Yeah, sad.
Prohibition was horrible to the cider industry.
Yeah.
Because the cider industry before Prohibition used a lot of apple trees that you couldn't use the apples for cooking or eating.
Yeah.
And nowadays those are called like the heritage or the traditional type of ciders that use those kind of like super duper tannic, not so sweet sugary type of apples. Modern cideries like us, we use a bunch of culinary apples for our sugar content and provide some sweetness because people kind of like sweet things. They need a little sweetness to it, even though we try to keep them pretty dry.
Right. And you can't be everywhere at all times to provide that.
Right.
He's a super sweet guy, but he's just one man. So we have to back sweeten the ciders. Yeah. Sorry. He could bring it to you. It's completely dry. Added sweetness.
Yeah.
Sorry. Put it on a t-shirt. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, sad, because he went around, he would, funny, I don't know if you've watched, there's Mike Rowe hosted, it was How Booze Built America. Mm-hmm. Fascinating, like three-part series that was on Discovery Channel. But one of the episodes is, John Chapman, Johnny Appleseed. And he would just wear layers of clothes. Like he didn't want to, like, I guess, carry a satchel just with his his apple seeds. And that's the only thing in his satchel. And then he'd carry a Bible and hand out pages of his Bible. But that might have been a cover. Because allegedly, we don't know for sure, he has a lot of kids out there. So he was, when he was going out around the countryside, Appleseed's not the only spreading. But we don't, it's all hearsay,
What
we do know is apples.
Apples
and then the pot on his head. And he talked to animals, like in the Disney cartoon.
Yeah. He was the first Disney princess.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, that's, I guess.
He would be a Disney prince, I guess, okay, so he'd be the Disney male version of the princess that I would actually be into.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know. Take that from, we'll cut that part out and we'll send it off to Disney and see if they're like, I think that sounds right. I don't know what y'all just said, but it sounds right.
Sure.
But so that's sad. A little piece of American history. Like, he's one of those tall tales, right? Mm. And so you think apples, Johnny Appleseed. I don't know when his birthday is, but I feel like we should have like a cider party.
It was just recently. Johnny Appleseed Day was 2 Saturdays ago. So
was it really?
Yes.
I do that all the time. It's like, man, this would be fun to do a thing. And then I look and it's like, oh, it's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I never hit it like, oh, it's coming up in 2 weeks. At least that I never think about it.
Yeah, because we were going to celebrate it. But then that was also the weekend of the Peaches Fight Back release. And so we're just like, well, yeah, we really like Johnny Appleseed, but we'd rather try to get support for the League of Women Voters.
Okay. Can we mark on the calendar to do a Johnny Appleseed event?
Yeah.
It's September 26th.
Oh, that's just right after my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's he, myself and Johnny Appleseed, kindred spirits there.
There
mine's the 18th, so 8 days. A little over a week.
All right.
So there. All right. I'll remember that now. Maybe.
Maybe.
Now, Johnny, what would a Johnny Appleseed event be? I mean, I think, ciders, obviously.
Up in Michigan and the Pacific Northwest, it's usually around harvest time and New England too, but around harvest time, people just throw like, well, people used to throw festivals like Cider Fest and stuff, but COVID.
Yeah, COVID sucks.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. Or in 2 years. Or maybe in 5 years. Who knows how it's going to play
out. Just right. Imagine the parties in 2+ years.
Right. You know what? They're going to be quick because people are going to go and like, I don't know. Either their livers are going to be rock solid and ready to go because we've been sitting inside drinking all the time, or everybody's going to be, out of practice partying. And so 10 minutes in, everybody's like, oh, I think I need to sit down. a Johnny Appleseed event. We need to do something. I feel like, we'll put pots on our heads or something and layer up. And it's too hot to layer up here.
Yeah,
where are the best, Michigan?
Michigan. So the best apples are really from like Oregon, Washington, and New England.
Okay.
Michigan has a really good apple program. So does Wisconsin, Minnesota. They need cold weather.
Okay.
They need the cold weather to snap the sap in the trees.
Ah.
Colorado, Western Slope has some really good apples. Who is it?
I know there's a variety out of Arkansas.
Yep.
Arkansas Black.
Yep. And Argus Cidery does a lot with Arkansas apples.
Okay. Have you... I'm from Arkansas, so automatically, and they're probably the closest, I guess.
Yeah, apple. They're the closest apple producers, but most of them are already kind of contracted out. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I don't know. There's a, from Arkansas, so automatically, and it has the name Arkansas. Like Houston, hey, there's a cidery in Houston Cider Company. It's called the Arkansas Black Apple. Mm. And so it's like, oh, that's from where I'm from. Anyway.
It's something special.
Yeah, it's all connected to me. Mm-hmm. I'm super egotistical. Apparently, Johnny Appleseed, his birthday's near mine. Oh, that cider's near me. Anyway, okay, cool. So, archaeology. We'll swing back to that.
Oh.
Did you go on any, actual digs?
Yeah, I did a field school down in Belize. And I was doing some excavations at Maya Ruins.
Mm-hmm.
The site's called Shenantinich. So, I spent a month there in the summer, and it was... pretty similar to Houston weather, very hot, very humid, and did a bunch of digging, didn't find any bones.
Mm.
The month before I went, they found skeletons. Mm. They found underneath a house, essentially.
Okay.
Like their doorstep. But so it's been really cool. I took osteology classes otherwise where I could focus on human remains and kind of understand what sicknesses and what different illnesses affect the bones, which it was something I never really thought about besides, breaks.
Right.
You break, your bone's going to mend, but there's a couple of different kinds of illnesses or deficiencies that will leave marks on your skeleton.
Oh, I wonder what COVID's doing to bones.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
All right. We're going to have to wait another 150, 200 years to dig people up.
I don't know. I think some people are turning into boneheads because of it.
I think so. I think we all are a little bit in different ways. Just how does it manifest, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's one day I'll wake up like, I'm not wearing a mask again. And I walk out the door like, oh, give me my mask. I'm going to catch it. I'm bold for about 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I'll give it back.
And then you see all the people on the street. And you're like,
never
mind.
Yeah.
This now gives me excuse to walk across the street to the other block, mm-hmm. so I don't have to walk past someone with my dogs. Like, because before it's just like, oh, okay, we're going to try and walk in the grass or just walk on the street. Nope, I just go across the street now, walk on the other side of the block. I don't want to see anyone.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what this is doing to us. You know, people are going to need places like this to reacclimate to being around people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if y'all know how big of a role y'all are going to play on the back end of this. It's big, though. Be prepared.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of dysfunction. People are going to get all weird. You just got to hug them up when we can hug again.
Yeah.
And hug them with a cider. Take this.
Virtual hug.
Yeah, everybody, we're mixing up tables. People need to get to know other people. We need it to happen. And this places like this, neighborhood spots like this, are going to play a big role. It's going to, your therapists.
That's why you talk to a bartender.
Yes.
You tip your bartender well.
Right. And outside, like a day like today.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It's finally Houston good summer.
I know. For the next 3 days or however until it.
When's the hurricane coming?
Yeah. Do we have another one coming?
Delta. Delta's
maybe.
Supposed to.
Maybe.
I'm thinking Delta Burke now. Southern lady going to Louisiana.
One of those super sassy hurricanes. Don't hey y'all or whatever. All right, we should move on to the next cider because that one's all gone. That one's really good though. I like that a lot. When y'all go get some peaches, let me know.
Okay.
I may tag along.
Yeah.
You know, even if you want me to or not, I may just be like,
yeah, no.
Like, I'm coming anyways.
Yeah, it'll be in June, so hopefully this next time, might try and make it like a good weekend trip.
Yeah.
Go out to High Cider, maybe camp with them.
Cool.
Hang out with them, and then go to Vogel, help them with their processing and stuff, and then bring it all back to Houston.
Right? Because Fredericksburg's got some cool places to go see. I mean, one, just walking the town is, you know, cool. But then you've got all the wineries. Mm-hmm. There's, what is it? Is it Dumbass Winery? Has the number one peach wine for whoever judges peach wines.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think it's Dumas.
Maybe they have a big donkey on there, so I think they're in on the joke.
Yeah, maybe it is Dumbass.
Yeah, so I don't know, but anyway, it's a fascinating Allstadt brewery there. That's a great place to go see. I don't know if you've been there yet, but anyway, enough about them. Let's talk about let's have a paradigm shift real quick.
Yeah,
with this whole conversation.
Yeah, so you have the very last can.
Well, I don't want to just...
No, you got to have it.
Okay.
You gotta
can I
have
share it.
It?
Do I have to drink the whole thing?
If you want to share it,
no,
you can.
I want to share it. Okay. I feel like this would be is one of those things where...
You can also just drink the whole thing. You're going to want to drink the whole thing.
Well, I know that, but before I take a sip, I'm going to let you guys pour some. I don't want to... I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. All right. Ooh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of our South Coast Hop series.
Okay.
It's
that smells
like
great.
It's the cider version of a New England IPA.
Oh. That was a pretty good third of a pour there. We all did. Right there. See?
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Way to go, us. Cheers.
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 All right. That smells amazing. I almost don't want to... Mm.
But yeah, so it's called Paradigm Shift. For a couple of reasons. The hops that are used in it is 100% Paradigm hops from the Great Lakes Hop Alliance. I think it's our hop group, but it's the Great Lakes hops. They were grown in Michigan.
Okay.
And very tropical, fruity.
Yeah.
Really intense, good, like, fruit flavors.
That's really good.
Brewer's notes were all over the place with what they were getting flavor and aroma-wise. I mean, there was cheap bubble gum and cattiness.
Herbal.
But then
chamomile.
Like, chamomile, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was
chamomile.
The weird one.
Yeah. But when we use hops and ciders, we don't have any heat with the hops. So we really kind of do some special things with it, and we're able to extract. Extract's a bad word because it sounds like we're doing things chemically and mechanically, and we're not. We're letting the yeast go in there and just have a field day with all the hop oils.
Interesting.
But yeah, so it's we're able to kind of get more focus on like the fruitiness and the floral notes instead of more of the like kind of dark, dank, kind of bad qualities of hops.
Right. Yeah, because you know, with a brewer, you're boiling the wort and adding the hops to, is it isomerize? And you don't do any of that.
No.
So do you have to, I guess hops have their own preservative quality anyway. So you don't have to do anything. You just chunk them in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's a 5-day process. When we pitch the yeast, every 5 days we go through, add more hops. Make sure that the yeast are handling the hops well and keep going from there, and then cold crash and just add a little bit of apple juice behind it.
Just for a little bit of...
Just to help with the mouthfeel. Otherwise, it's too light on the mouth, and so it's just kind of like drinking water, but kind of acidic water, so just adding that little bit of apple juice to it just helps give it a little bit of better mouthfeel.
Is it just a single apple blend, or is it multiple?
It's multiple apples. So we work with several orchards through a broker to provide juice for us.
Okay.
Because we can't press juice here in Houston.
No, just can't?
So just for us to run like a single batch of juice, we'd be looking at like 15 tons of apples that we would need to press.
Sure.
And then what? There's no way that we could handle the waste for that. No farmer in Houston area.
But have you tried?
No.
I don't know what you would do with 15 tons of pressed apples. What can you do with pressed apples?
Applesauce, apple products, apple flavorings, some apple pies, apple things. Apples go to hogs. I mean, Oregon and Washington has a really good, I don't want to call it a waste program, but essentially a waste program that they can take the apple byproducts and get them so that there's actually no apples going to landfills or composting.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really good. Like, really good.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's a good one for the people who can't have, or who are gluten intolerant. Like, my sister used to be a huge beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
She can't do it anymore. Mm. She got celiacs, and so she loves all of the hopped ciders. And so something like this, it's just great because it's essentially like drinking a beer. But like, you're not getting the heaviness that some beers give you, but you're getting all of the flavor.
Yeah. It's they try to make gluten-free beers. I applaud your effort, whoever, if you're out there listening and you're a gluten-free beer maker, but when somebody says, have you ever heard of a good gluten-free beer? I'm like, yeah, cider. Try them out. There's so much variety, and this would really be right in that wheelhouse for somebody who was a beer lover.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one thing I want to mention is, like, any homebrewers out there, like, I mean, honestly, try other hops outside of like Amarillo, Citra, like all the big popular ones. Like, Michigan is having some really good hops that are coming out. I mean, the Paradigm hops that we got from them are wonderful. I'd like to see what a local beer can do. I know Bell's Brewery did their fall seasonal with the Paradigm hops.
Okay.
Hopeful to try and get a case of that shipped down here.
Yeah.
And then another hop that we have from them is Bergmott. They call it the OAF, the Orange as Fudge.
Right. AF is the new Imperial.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're actually kind of changing it up a little bit. We're calling it the Notorious OAF. but we have a cider that we were fermenting Mediterranean oranges in, and then we are dry hopping with the Bergmott hop.
Okay.
And then we're probably going to taste it today to see how it goes, but we might add a little bit more. We might actually add some orange juice to it, or just finish it off with a little bit of apple. But yeah,
cool.
It's going to be OAF.
So has Michigan historically been a hop producer? Is this a newer venture, or
in pre-prohibition, we probably grew a bunch of hops, but most of the northern states are starting to do new hop programs, just mainly for the craft brewers, just to try and get something out there, try and help their agricultural community, because hops have a bigger dollar per acre value than some of the other crops that they can grow up there.
Makes sense. And that, back in the day, like, I know New York, like upstate New York, right? They've got some hop growth up there, and I don't know if it's as prevalent as it used to be.
No, like, I know one of my friends is a professor in the University of Vermont university system, and they were looking at hop growth in Vermont again, and like trying to get the hop growing program back up and running that Vermont used to have. I don't know how that fared now, but it was a couple of years ago, and they were investigating hop growth, but I think now they're more in line with looking at marijuana and hemp to help with, because that's even a higher cash crop.
Right.
But for New England, they need the kind of more money to help them with the declining population.
That makes sense. I would think hops long run would end up being more, I don't know. I feel like marijuana runs the risk of being commoditized. Is that the right word? Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Once the big businesses get into that.
Mm.
I mean, there's some big hop businesses, but what you're producing with a hop versus what you're producing with marijuana, I don't know.
I was just going to ask, do hops need the cooler weather just the same way that apples kind of need?
Yeah. So, it's all like once when harvest is always like right in fall, because the cold weather just kind of starts snapping the sap that goes into them. And they need that they need the heat to grow and survive.
Has to do with daylight hours too.
Yeah.
Like here, I don't know if we have enough daylight hours.
We have too much. Yeah, we have too much daylight with too much direct sunlight and heat.
Yeah. They'll grow great at the beginning of like early, like spring, early summer, and then they'll just get fried. I tried to grow some in my backyard and it burst into flames.
Up there they have, it's longer daytime hours, but the sun's not as intense, so it's not as hot.
Yeah, it's like a different angle, right? Yeah. It's the angle of the
sun and the earth.
And the harmonies and the, you have to sing to it just right with the banjo. I don't know. Yeah, no, I was just watching Yakima Chief Hops doing their whole, they did a whole lot of streaming of their hop harvest. It was pretty fascinating. I like watching people do all that hard work.
Yeah, and I feel bad for them too with all the forest fires that have been going out there. And then I know for them particularly, harvest was difficult trying to find laborers. There we go. Because it was also apple harvest, and the apple orchards are more closely up in the foresty areas and slopes that, well, the forest fires were there. So the apple industry was really getting all the day laborers to go and pick the apples, which kind of put the hop harvest on hold a little bit, which a lot of people are like, oh, what are we going to do? But things seem to have worked out a little bit. So everyone was able to harvest pretty well. And probably going to be a lot of smoky ciders and smoky apple pies this coming year.
I was going to say, like, I know that the wine industry took a big hit with some of their wines and their grapes getting a bunch of smoke character in them.
Yeah, for the apples, I wouldn't see that much smoke character to them, because it's all going to be skin value and just kind of wipe off pretty easily. But it could be next year if the terroir just changed quite a bit, then start seeing some different changes on the apple profiles.
That's interesting. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Not necessarily a bad thing, but also not a good thing either.
Right.
The good winemakers will be going through and looking at reformulations and trying to figure things out. Might have to do some blending and not in-state blending anymore, but having to go outside of different states to look for different either grapes or apples. Or
I'm just thinking like a smoky, like there's smoked beers where they smoke the malt. Yeah. A little bit of smoke. Has anybody made a smoked cider? And how would you do that?
We actually did. We did a barbecued apple cider. We smoked apples over some apple wood while we were, I think, smoking a brisket.
And?
It was okay.
Yeah.
I think the apples got a little burnt, but it was okay.
Yeah.
You got some smoked char flavor in there.
Something.
It was something.
There's probably a way.
Yeah, I'd do it again. This was just like a once and done, and because I don't smoke brisket a lot, but
right.
I'm like, oh yeah, let's throw some apples in there.
Well, yeah, apple wood is great to smoke with.
Yeah.
Right. Especially like pork, right? Apples and pork. You'd think the pigs eat a lot of, like, you know, so like pork chops and
applesauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's one of those flavors like God ordained, like boom. It's just, this is going to be great. Wait till you try this. There you go. And it's like, you're right. But I don't know. I'm an optimist, eternal optimist most of the time. But you kind of think maybe it'll be something that somebody will pick up on and be like, oh, yeah, we got to try and make this happen again in a more controlled way or something like that. So, but the thought of like smoked apple with a little hint or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it'll be really interesting to try. I mean, with all of the wildfires on the West Coast, just to see how different wine and, I mean, ciders from all the apples will taste, though, in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Or so. I'm just kind of curious to see what that flavor profile is going to be like.
Yeah, it's curious because it's like what all was getting, like when you're smoking a brisket or a pork butt or whatever, you decide which wood you're going to use, and it's very controlled how much smoke versus whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't really control what's being burnt in the forest fire.
Yeah,
it kind of tastes like not mushrooms.
In Northern California probably tastes like marijuana.
Yeah.
Come on, Humboldt County, if that thing is a place, you'd have Snoop Dogg there in a second.
Turns out everybody, like all the people who are, you know, up in arms about all the politics and everything, everybody got real mellowed out real quick. It's interesting. I don't understand. Everybody just kind of chilled. Everybody just kind of started playing acoustic guitar and singing. It was awesome. Yeah, it's fine. Turns out it all worked out in the end. We just needed one big fire strategically placed, and everything just chilled out. And we were like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. That's the approach from now on. But anyway, cherry. Mm-hmm.
Cherry.
Yes. I love the color of this.
Yeah, so this is actually a big deal cider for us. Mm-hmm. And we took home the 2019 Double Gold in Stone Fruit for this cider.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was Cider Craft Magazine, the big industry magazine for the cider world. We won the Double Gold for this cherry cider. And When I found out about it, I was just that moment of euphoria was just like, oh, this is excellent. And then I was just like, oh, crap. We can only get so many cherries for this. we're going to have to produce more of this. Wait a second.
Okay. So lots of questions. First, cherries used.
Montmorency cherries from Michigan.
Okay. Are those really red?
They're kind of like a really, yeah, they're a red cherry, also very tart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you get, it tastes like what you want a cherry to taste like.
Yeah, our tagline is like no BS. We don't use any BS ingredients in our cider. So no adjunct sugars for fermentation, which I mean is fine. Some people have to do it because apple sugars for their area might be a little low, and for the alcohol they need, have to boost it up. But for back sweetening, it's specific to fruit. Mm. We also use honey, but we have specific honey ciders for that. But for the cherry cider, it is literally just apples and cherries.
Yeah.
And it took us, I think we went through 12 different orchards to find these cherries.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the Montmorency cherry season in Michigan came to a very bitter end this year. The season just didn't do well for the cherries, and harvest was very poor. I think they only had maybe about 20% of their estimated cherries.
Wow.
So we're kind of cherry cider, I know a lot of people enjoy it, but probably come January, February, you might not be able to find any more until about June of next year.
Okay. Well, I mean, treasure it while you have it.
Yes.
And know that's coming.
Yes.
It'll make each one of them, like, that's a, you know, hey, I got one of the last ones, and it'll make it that much better. But it's not, like, there's, with cherries, I'm a big cherry fan, but there's red flavor, which is like, you know, cherry candy and that sort of things. And then there's like cherry pie, which has a little bit of the cherry flavor, but it's mostly just sweet. But this has cherry flavor, like actual fruit, like when you, the fresh fruit, but with not, there's no real tartness. I mean, there's a little tartness, enough to keep it from being too sweet, but it's just, it's like this real round, just cherry flavor. It's really, really pleasant.
It's almost like you just went and picked your own cherries. Mm-hmm. And you got them home, you washed them off, you de-stemmed them, you pitted them, and then you took an immersion blender, got it all pureed up, and then you just took a spoon and just put that in your mouth.
Yeah. Seriously, that's about it, because it's, I mean, it's just all this cherry flavor. Now, when do you add it pre-fermentation? I mean, does...
So the cherries are actually added post-fermentation.
Okay. I was going to say, because I wonder, like, I would imagine fermentation... Oh. Poor guy. He jumped into my drink.
Uh-oh.
He's getting drunk. It's fine.
Extra protein.
It is a little bit. Fiber and protein. It's fine. It'll probably okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. Be fine.
It'll probably help me.
Be fine.
Yeah. You know. Anyway, at least he died doing what he wanted.
He died a happy bug.
He did. Well, I was like, I just want to die in a big glass of cider. There you go, buddy.
Out of all the ciders to choose, at least it's cherry.
Yeah.
He should. I think I just drank it. No, it's still there. All right, it's fine. Oh, if I start coughing, you'll know. He didn't die. He's back from the inside. Dude, that's kind of a cool horror movie. Like the bug, he starts off small and somebody drinks him and he takes over the body of whoever.
It's kind of like The Fly, but not just spliced.
But it's a way, it's a way you can, he like actually, you drink him, but he doesn't, it was actually an alien. No, I don't know. It takes some work. It'd be my second horror movie to come up with on this show. I have another one I'll tell you about later. People are tired of hearing about it. It's called The Head Brewer. It has to do with putting heads in beer. But it's totally it kind
of... I mean, that would be one way to get rid of bodies. I mean, you could boil them off, but then you have the bones. And you just put
You find like, a bone expert.
Yeah, but do you put the bones in, like, the spent grain and stuff and just, like, pass them off to the farmers and just hope
maybe
that the cows, like, stomp on the bones to get them into the...
Grind them up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. What would it take to grind up bones?
A lot of heat.
Okay.
And a lot of strength.
Like a stone meal, like one of the...
Yeah.
What if you could put them in the grain mill?
Yeah.
And the grist mill, just like grind up the bones that way.
That might
work.
And
then, just put it into the spent malt, and then that way it gets spread out onto the farmer's fields, cows eat it.
Or the pigs.
Or the pigs, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then...
Call back to Fight Club when he talks about the... Hence the term greedy as a pig.
Oh, but then the people that got killed could... like once when they're consumed inside the animal,
yeah,
they could actually maybe like control the animal or something, and then try to avenge their death.
Revenge of the pigs. There's so many directions to go.
I love it.
So you could make this whole universe with what happens. Like it just keeps perpetuating.
Yeah.
Because then somebody eats the pig that was actually a person. What happens then?
Does that mean the person comes back to life?
They're talking inside of their...
Yeah,
they're new, possessed.
Yeah. They're possessed.
Yeah. I think we're onto something.
Yeah, you could have a one-person podcast and have two people on it. And that's how it all comes full circle. Yes, no, this is... But back to the cider.
Cider, yeah.
Don't put bones in it.
I don't think, right?
No.
Okay.
Not usually.
Although,
It is spooky season.
The R&D wheels are spinning now, and it is spooky season.
Yeah. What bones would be best? I don't know. What were the fish bladders that Guinness used to use?
Oh, Isinglass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that is that considered bones? Is that exoskeleton kind of? Fish don't have exoskeletons. But.
No. Okay. That's just bladder.
It's kind of close though.
Muscle material.
Air bladder, right? That they used to float.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, the brewing world uses some really strange ingredients.
I don't think they do anymore.
Yeah, Isinglass is still used quite a bit. Yeah.
Does Guinness still use it?
I think. I don't know. I don't want to push judgment on anything because, but if I would assume that if Guinness doesn't use it, they would have a vegan label on their beer.
Right.
But if they still use it, then it wouldn't be a vegan beer. Actually, probably check a vegan blog.
That's true. There used to be all kinds of rumors about Guinness, like their tanks have been full for the since the 1700s, and then when they finally emptied them, there were rats at the bottom or something. Like I remember that being a thing, like back in the day. I don't think it's true because it doesn't make sense.
No, because rats would have been dissolved in the tanks by that time.
Yeah,
I think even the bones too, because there should be enough acid in the bone or enough acid in the beer to dissolve the bones over like several years.
Yeah.
Especially and, something that small.
And there's no way they're using the same kettles and stuff from 1782 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, even Yingling, they're on new tanks and they still have their old glass fermentation tanks, but they don't use them anymore.
Right. Right. So.
Blood
Wake up. yeah, no, it's, I don't know. All those rumors that, all those that used to go around, but that was one, something about Guinness, because Guinness has been around forever, but anyway. Speaking of something like Guinness, like a stout, could you do like a, what would be the stout version of a cider?
So we were R&Ding some coffee and cocoa nibs and molasses. Weird textures were coming out of it, but I know Trinity Cider up in Deep Ellum area, Dallas Fort Worth. They did a Black is Beautiful cider, and they did it as a stout cider. I wish I lived closer to Dallas because I really want to try it.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, I don't, and I don't like driving to Dallas because it's so long.
It's the worst drive. It's just 45. It's boring.
Yeah, I'm really waiting for that bullet train to come by because, like, yeah, okay, I can get an airplane ticket, maybe round trip for like $200 on Southwest, go up to Dallas, but I'd rather just have the bullet train and be able to come back in like $100.
Yeah, yeah, that it's supposed to run. I'm up 290, like up that way, allegedly. I don't know if they're actually when they're gonna build it.
Yeah, they started working on the Northwest Mall here at 610 and
already
290. Yeah, because that's gonna be the terminal.
Okay.
And it's supposed to have been that the Metro Bond referendum from like 2002-2004 that they were going to use Northwest Mall for like this light rail terminus for most of the city, which thanks to Culberson got like scrapped. But at this with the high speed rail coming in, they're actually finding ways to revive that bond referendum.
Okay.
So, yeah, 290 and 610 is going to be like a big train hub, and it got me excited because, like, when I lived abroad, I lived in Melbourne, Australia, and, man, the train system was awesome. You could get anywhere super fast, super easy, super cheap. Didn't need a car in a big city, and I just really wish that Houston would have that same thing.
Houston's so spread out.
I know.
And hot. It's like, oh, you only need to walk four blocks that way. You're going to die.
Yeah.
It's August 3rd. It's 102 degrees and 900% humidity. good luck.
But for me, I'm an inner looper. Like, a lot of times I don't see a need to leave 610 other than Spring Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is probably going to come to an end. I might have to leave the inner loop.
House-wise?
Yeah. In-laws are getting a little bit older.
Okay.
We're looking at buying a house so that they can move in with us, so that way you can help them take care of them.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. And with that, we need, like, first floor, main bedrooms, mm-hmm. and bigger kitchen, bigger living room, bigger outside.
All the space.
Yeah. Instead of our little 2-1 bungalow here in the Heights that was built in the 1920s that have survived, like, 75 hurricanes.
Right?
Yeah.
This area, it just has that character. Mm-hmm. It's seen things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why people like the Heights so much. Like, even people that don't live in the Heights are like, oh, yeah, go check out the Heights. Which is cool.
Yeah.
So.
Guy died in my house. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Did he really?
Yeah. He was the original homeowner. And
Was it COVID?
No, he passed away in his sleep, like, you know, 2000. When did we buy the house? 2009, like 2008 or something
like
that.
Probably still COVID. So.
Everything's COVID.
Retro. We're going back. It's COVID. We know it. Look at him. He's not breathing, is he? See, COVID. No. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that is kind of spooky though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old was he?
90 something.
See, my wife's getting her real estate license. All that, like, if somebody dies in the house, I think natural causes, they don't have to disclose.
Natural causes don't have to be disclosed. Murders, suicides.
Witchcraft,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do
they have, like, is it, I haven't asked her, but if it's just, if nobody died, but if there was some witchcraft, I wonder if they have to disclose.
I think they do, because it would be a strange effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
It would definitely leave some bad juju.
For sure.
Or good juju. You never know. Some witches are good. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, some witches are good.
Yeah.
I should go back to the mall. So there's this place called the Magic Cauldron down on Montrose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a, I guess they call themselves witches, but yeah, it's a witch shop.
Okay.
I know they do. Olivia's writing it down. but yeah, I know a couple people that go there, and it seems really cool. But
what do they sell? Like,
just books and little I don't want to call them knickknacks because I don't want to belittle.
Do they have any Eye of Newt?
So, okay, there's a strange thing. Eye of Newt.
You got onto something.
Yeah.
I read this somewhere, and now I forget it.
And can it be used in a cider? But go on.
But yeah, Eye of Newt is actually an herb, and it could be used in cider.
So there's no newts involved.
There's no
so
newts
So it's vegan.
Involved. Yeah, it's a vegan herb. Oh. Well, it's just an herb. But yeah, apparently, like, back in Shakespeare's time, you had, like, some of these herbs and plants that were coming over that people were just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing with them because the New World, like, tomatoes.
Right.
No one wanted to touch a tomato because they thought it was poisonous, and then the Italians just took tomatoes over, and all of a sudden they just have a new cuisine.
Yeah.
But during the time of discoveries, the witches were using all these new herbs and stuff coming over from the mainland, and they were being called different things because they looked like things. So, like, Eye of Newt, I think, may have actually been oregano or something, because the leaf of the oregano actually looked like the Eye of a Newt.
So I saw mustard seed.
Oh, mustard seed. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That might be it. So, all right. So, actually, Eye of Newt is touted by Jesus.
Yeah.
Mustard seed, right?
Yeah.
Faith, he talked about mustard seed. So, there you go. Okay. That's a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
That is.
That whole deal. It's like, because I thought it was like, why these poor little newts? You got a bunch of one-eyed newts running around with little eye patches.
Think of how many newts you would need for, like, Shakespeare's Macbeth.
I mean,
they were adding Eye of Newt to their cauldron by, like, the pounds.
Yeah, that's a lot of eyes. A lot of newts. Like, what do you do with the rest of those newts? Are they, like, what are the...
Barbecue?
Maybe. Or
I think
probably
too
kebabs.
Probably
kebabs
to
at best.
Fry them. Do they know frying techniques back then?
Maybe. Skewer?
You could, like, with the quail, their bones are soft enough to, not quail, but the little birds, that are their bones are actually kind of soft enough to, once they cook long enough.
Quail.
Oh, the quail.
Is it quail or whatever, the little, pigeon or
they're
dove
tiny.
Or whatever.
They're thin. I've looked at enough of them. They're pretty small.
Yeah. So maybe newt bones are, like bones or are they cartilage or what are they?
Get a lot of calcium and potassium that way, that's for sure.
Yeah, what is the macronutrient content of a newt? Do they come with a? Is it better to eat to like a crab and eat a, fresh newt right into the, or can you have freeze dried newt?
Oh.
Is that what's in Fig Newtons?
Salamanders, right? Or that same?
Kinda, they're in that same genre.
Yeah, same genre.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have enough brown anoles around here. We can start collecting those and then have like Eye of Anoli.
There you go.
What is that?
The little brown lizards that like.
Yeah. Are those the ones you grab the tail and the tail comes off?
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
I thought a lot of lizards' tails come off. Is that
not as easy as these guys?
Yeah. Oh. Some of you grab them, it's like, oh, I just took his ass right off. This is, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
My dogs have been eating a lot of them in the past couple days because it's nice weather. I've been like, I get home, I go outside, crack open a cider. On a Sunday, it's a beer. Sundays I have beer. And then dogs just go outside to frolic. I mean, I have the range of dogs. I have a almost 16-year-old down to a 2-year-old, three dogs, and they just go hunting for these brown anolis. And
I wonder what they taste like. Do dogs have taste buds?
I would assume like chicken.
Yeah.
Everything tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes
like
everything
dark meat. I'm going to think dark meat chicken.
Yeah.
Like thighs.
Mm. Yeah. Everything tastes like chicken except for like beef, pork.
And some chicken.
And some chicken. The black chicken. Oh, the black chicken from Indonesia do not taste like chicken.
No?
Yeah, there's this black chicken. It's all, it's weird.
Okay.
It's black meat. Like black purple meat. Oh. It is weird.
What does it taste like? Is it textured different?
Yeah, texture is a bit different. Kind of tastes like,
I wonder what makes it black.
It just has this like it was bred for this pigment, and it just like all the organs are black, like everything is black. It's like this black purple chicken. It kind of tastes like a shark, which kind of tastes like a little bit of a chicken pork mix.
Yeah,
yeah, weird.
Okay. Things with shark and swordfish, it's the texture.
Yeah,
it's not. It tastes like the flavor's kind of whatever, but the texture is a little different.
Yeah,
black chicken from Indonesia, you say?
Yeah, yeah. I think I saw one in the Heights.
Oh my gosh. That's
yeah, it's
Halloween meal. Can you just get those anywhere?
I don't know. I want to say I saw one in the Heights somewhere. Because you're not supposed to, but several houses in the Heights have chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And when particularly with COVID, you go on a lot of walks with your dogs.
Right.
And you explore different parts of your neighborhood that you just never walked to before because you're just like, oh, it's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But in COVID, when you have nothing to do, you're just like, I'm gonna go for like 2 more blocks.
Yeah.
And your 2-year-old dog or 1-year-old dog at the time is just like, oh, come on, more. But yeah, you start to notice all the houses with the chickens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the houses has the black chicken.
Those are spooky looking chickens. Even their eyes are black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's black.
That's crazy.
Just imagine like being that witch and opening it up inside your house for a meal and like putting Eye of Newt in there.
Oh my God.
And technically what you're making is Italian crusted black chicken, blackened chicken.
Yeah.
Could you do blackened black chicken, like Cajun style blackened black chicken? And how would you know?
That would be weird.
How do you know when it's done?
You'd have to
use a thermometer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Probe that.
Yeah, you can't just go by color. Maybe texture if you're Gordon Ramsay or somebody. He's always check the fleshy part. It should feel like that. It's like, I don't think my hand feels like your hand because my chicken's not done. Anyway, we've been watching a lot of cooking shows. There's one, Gordon Ramsay has these, their classes on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
If you're looking just to learn how to do some meals and don't mind watching Gordon Ramsay. I like Gordon Ramsay.
I love him. Does he get angry in these ones?
No, this is very straightforward, but you can see it's under the surface. Like, if you asked him a question, he'd probably backhand you and then just be like, keep watching. Just hit rewind. Anyway, that's... he's probably nice.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole quarantine thing, like, it's been nice because it's been, for us, we've been every month focusing on a cuisine.
Mm.
So we just finished Thai.
Okay.
We bought a couple Thai books and just been reading how to, like, make Thai food. And it's come out really good. I had gotten some Thai from different restaurants to compare. And I think mine is better, but... You know, everyone.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, it's it's one of those things. Like being the home chef, you have a lot more pride and stuff in your food. Found some really good cider combinations with it, and got some really good flavor ideas for new ciders from it. But this next month, we're going into Turkish cuisine, and we're doing from like Ottoman Empire to current. So it's gonna be interesting. But lots of lamb, lots of eggplant. Eggplant just creeps me out. I don't know, I have a texture issue with it, but
there's a difference between the big fat ones and the skinny ones.
Yeah,
so maybe skinny. I think the skinnier ones have a better texture.
They're easier. You don't have to salt them or prepare them. Really, you can just go ahead and cook them. Versus the fat ones, generally, you need to salt them and pull out the moisture.
Yeah,
but then they still have.
like a fibrous
yes.
texture to yeah. them. So
I'm glad we can all agree.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The one thing that's
Team Skinny Eggplant. Yeah.
But the one thing that's really good about this is that okay, so cooking these different meals, seeing like the different flavor combinations, it's what we do in ciders too. It's just mm-hmm. We deal with a lot of agricultural products, but not necessarily like yeah, we can have all fruited ciders, but we also have a lot of herbal ciders too. And so it's just like, oh, well, I never thought about using this herb with this pepper or, like, this type of flavor combination, like the sour with, like, the heat or the sour with the sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so just coming out with all these different, like, crazy ideas that are going to go into our R&D is just going to be like, oh, everyone's going to be in for a trip soon.
When you get done with the Turkish geographical region of cuisine, are you going to move into Transylvania? And if so, as a last day of your... We just watched the Dracula. What is it? The new one with the unhinged, uncut, something, unleashed. It was supposed to be part of the monster universe. They were supposed to do a whole big monster universe with all the I think the mummy that Tom Cruise did is part of that. I think they're still going forward with it. Kind of everybody's like looks at Marvel and they're like, oh, we could do a universe of movies too, and they were going to do Monster Universe, which to me sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm into that. Yeah.
So they started with Dracula Unleashed, which has what's the actor's name? He was the bowman from The Hobbit. What was his name?
Martin. Oh wait, the bowman.
Yeah, the ones that shoot Smaug. You know, what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Oh, is it Dracula Untold?
Untold. That's it, not Unleashed. I mean, he's Unleashed as well. But
do you want to keep guessing who it is?
I don't know his name. I know what he looks like. He has the mustache and dreamy eyes.
Luke Evans?
Maybe.
That's him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's not a...
He plays the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
The live action one.
Yes, and he can No, wait. Is he...
He plays Gaston.
Gaston. He's Gaston.
He does a lot of other stuff that I don't think I've seen him a lot.
I think he's kind of the poor man's Hugh Jackman.
I can see that.
Yeah. He doesn't sing as well as Hugh Jackman.
Doesn't have the muscles of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some, but Hugh Jackman...
Yeah. It's
Hugh Jackman.
It's yeah. the studio. Do we pay, like... I don't know. Hugh probably gets like $20 million a movie,
yeah.
Or do we pay $2 million a movie? Like,
yeah,
let's take a zero out.
Right, exactly. Like you go with the poor man's whatever, right? And so, anyway.
So they're doing a monster movie series.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yes, I think they're still doing it. It's Universal, and so the Mummy with I haven't.
Do you mean Brendan Fraser?
No, that's the old school one. They did a new one with Tom Cruise.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. Is nobody
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. The problem with Tom Cruise is that Tom Cruise doesn't play characters anymore. It's just Tom Cruise being whatever. He's too big. Mm. Like he's too big of a character in and of himself. So it's just like Tom Cruise in a movie being this thing. And so, but that's just Tom Cruise. I can't. When I watch a movie with Tom Cruise now,
I feel like all he can do is the same action spy or just fighter kind of style.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen him as any other kind of character besides some sort of action.
What was the one
fighter dude?
What was the one he did with with Nicole Kidman? He did like 7 movies with Nicole Kidman. But
Eyes Wide Shut.
No, before that, the one where they were they were Irish. The first one they did together. The one where they started. I guess dating or
I don't know
arranging their whatever
family marriage.
Yeah, their whatever their public relations gimmick, whatever they did, whatever that was. I forget what it was, but they both had blonde. He they bleached his hair blonde.
Mm.
Ooh,
it was around
Far and Away.
Far and Away. Mm. That's it. That was a long time ago, like
92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen anything besides Mission Impossible from Tom Cruise, to
you
be
should
on,
go
totally
watch
honest.
Days of Thunder this afternoon.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Top Gun.
I have seen Top Gun. Sorry, that one's a lie.
You haven't seen Top Gun. What are the things you... the Mission Impossible 2,
mm-hmm.
It's awesome. There's Tom Cruise and Tom Cruise's hair, which is its own character, yeah. Which it's fantastic, let's be honest. And then... What else is Tom Cruise in that he's like, he's really, I mean, there's Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Is he in? Oh, yeah.
He plays the
he's really
movie
good.
Producer.
Yeah, that's, it's like, for a second there, you're like, that's Tom Cruise. Like, it takes you a second to figure it out.
That one's fun. We watched that a couple weeks ago. We're looking for all the stupid, like, fun comedy movies, and we watched that one in. It's so bad, but so good.
Yeah, they can't make it now.
No, no, it did not stand the test of time.
No, it in a way it does, because you're like, yeah, that was before people, well, you know.
Yeah.
Can't even, like, it's words a, can't be spoken.
No.
Can I ask a favor? Do y'all have something, anything y'all need to go do? Are y'all pressed for time?
No, we're not pressed for time.
Pressing apples, anything like that?
Nope.
Can we do some exclusive conversation just for our Patreon subscribers?
Oh, yeah, sure thing.
Okay, well, we'll pause it because I got some questions about herbs and some other things.
Okay, and I think for this, we need to crack open a specialty cider.
Okay, there you go. All right, so y'all have heard it there. This is going to be the end of this episode of Interbrews, episode 246.
Yay.
But if you want to hear the exclusive talk about something super special here at Houston Cider Company, you're going to have to go become a Patreon subscriber. And so that's only a dollar an episode. So that's where I say enticement.
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm trying to lure you in. But anyway, any little bit will help. And, you know, there's a bunch of exclusive. I think we have like 20-something exclusive episodes so far. And they're all evergreen, as they say. They're not dated at all. Except for some of them, but that's fine. You'll have to listen to all of them to figure out which ones are. But anyway, we'll wrap here, and this has been a fun episode so far, and the party will continue on the other side of this hitting the buttons. So if y'all are ready, I'm going to do that. So, for Olivia, great job on your... Is this your first ever podcast to do?
Yes. Yes,
you're a natural.
First time ever. Y'all thank you.
Consider doing a cider cast or something. I don't know. Justin, great as always.
Yes, always. I enjoy this. Yeah. We need to do it more than once a year.
This has been really fun.
Listen, if I can get enough Patreon subscribers where I can quit my job and come do it full time, I'll do it between this and Liquid Lunch. I'd do it for sure in a heartbeat. That's actually...
Oh, I always forget about Liquid Lunch. I always see Liquid Lunch like right when you guys are ending because I'm an early eater. And then I'm just like fiddling around on Facebook and I'm like...
It pops up.
Oh, I'm late.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in the exclusive stuff. So everybody, thanks for listening to this episode. And don't forget that exclusive stuff. Only for our super special people that we love. Let that sink in. Your money buys my love. All right. So, bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is Interbrews.
This is Interbrews.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.